Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, as always. And it's a true joy. I think when we look at this time of year, we think of the joy of the season. And we're going to be talking about Jesus born, our Savior, who is the very reason for that joy. I think there's a little typo, which I think was my fault. There's supposed to be 1 Peter this evening, but it's going to be Luke chapter 2. So, you know, it's the Word of God, right? It doesn't matter where we're at. It all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. Shall we ask the Lord's blessing upon His Word? Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, I just call upon Your name and thank You for all that You have done. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that You would take this message and that You would glorify Your name because it's Your Word. And Lord, I just pray that You would bless the hearers and bless the speaking at this time. Lord, we humble ourselves before You as we think of what You did in Your great humility in coming to this earth to become one of us and to be born our Savior, Messiah, and Lord. We thank You, Lord, for all that You're going to do this week, and we ask Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 2, Jesus born our Savior. You know, we've heard the Christmas message many times, haven't we, throughout our lives and through the you know, just the different years. Maybe before we were a Christian, we didn't understand what it meant. And after we're a Christian, we understand what it comes to mean, but we're kind of distracted by all of the different things around us. And we need to really not lose sight of the Christmas season and the reason why we celebrate. You know, there was a television interviewer walking the streets of Tokyo at Christmas time not too long ago, and much as in America, Christmas shopping is a big commercial success in Japan. The interviewer stopped one young woman on the sidewalk and asked, "What is the meaning of Christmas to you?" Laughing, she responded, "I don't know. Is it the day that Jesus died?" You know, but that was interesting, right? That was an interesting thing. In a way, yes, He was born to die for our sins. He was born to come into this world in the cradle to the cross. So, but that's an interesting point. But Jesus came to be our Savior. He came to be our Savior to save us from our sins. He came to be our Messiah and Lord. He's the Christ and He's the Lord. I've been brought back to the Gospel of Luke the last couple of Christmases, but always seeing a different aspect of it. And it's really the timing, the time of when Christ was born, rather than in Matthew. So, in the Gospel of Luke, the angel announced to the shepherds the wonderful news first. And here we see God's plan for us in motion. Tonight, I'd really just like to get into Jesus coming means the gospel coming to the world. And that's the first point. And the second point is that he is the Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And also the signs that we see is that the sign of Jesus' birth to the shepherds and also to the Jewish nation as the Messiah. So in verse 10, we read there in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Here's the angel bringing great tidings. He's bringing glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. This was the first preacher. He was preaching the gospel. The angel was preaching the gospel. That's the same word there, that he was bringing the gospel, the good news, and the good tidings. That's the good tidings is the gospel, and it's the same. And that's he was declaring unto these shepherds, and he was bringing it to the Jewish nation first, and then also to us as Gentiles. But he was bringing the glorious message of the glorious good news and good tidings of Jesus and the gospel coming into the world. And, you know, the preacher of glad tidings, the preacher of the word, and what does he say here? It's just amazing that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And again, the good news is the gospel. We learned about Isaiah 53 this morning, about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ coming as the Messiah to be the gospel. And he is the gospel. Think of it, the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This angel proclaimed the one true Messiah, the one true Savior, and who was prophesied to be the gospel himself. Jesus is the gospel. And so that's what's amazing. And he was to be the one to later preach the gospel. If you look at Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, you know, he is the gospel. He fulfilled it in their ears as the Messiah coming and preaching to the Jewish nation. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Here is the gospel, talking about the gospel, preaching the gospel, declaring himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." To preach the gospel to the poor. That's the same word as the glad tidings. To preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. He's the best preacher of all time. And it says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And of course, he closed the book after that, and everybody's mouth just dropped open. But so the gospel himself, and here's the one who is in the angel is declaring in the cradle, and this is him later on declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this translates to us. You know, we are to preach the gospel by God's grace. We are to be the ones declaring God's gospel to those around us. You know, I would say that here at Bethel, that's our main mission, is to get the gospel out, to share God's word, to tell people about their need of a Savior. And the good news, we got to tell them the bad news first. The bad news is that we're all sinners. Even boys, you know, young boys and girls, we're sinners. And we need a Savior greatly. We need a Savior to be saved from our sins. And so we need to tell that to others. We need to tell them the bad news, but also tell them the good news, that Jesus Christ came for sinners, that he is the gospel, that he is the one who can save us. And the angel here sets the tone, and how much more are we as his body? But the gospel brings a message that brings true faith, hope, and peace. And it does and should always replace fear with joy. It should replace fear with joy. There was much to be afraid about before, and quite honestly, left in our natural state, we were fearful. We were afraid. We were in our sins, and we didn't understand because we were groping in the dark. We were living in darkness. And we didn't really realize how much there is to fear, the sting of death and the wrath to come if left in our sins. Yeah, you can even see it in people's eyes. You know, when you're at work or different places, you see it in their eyes. You see the fear that's there. They don't quite understand. And yet we need to be the messengers of grace, bringing the gospel to them as a church and as an individual. But the shepherds were greatly afraid in verse 9. If you look back at verse 9, Luke 2, verse 9, they were greatly afraid. And let me read that for you. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Well, they had the right to be afraid. I'd be afraid too if I saw the, you know, this angel all of a sudden appear in the darkness, and boom, the glory. It was the great glory of the Lord shining. And so they had every reason to be afraid. But he comes, and the angel says, "Do not fear, fear not, for I bring you great glad tidings of great news. I bring you good tidings of great joy." And so he brings, the gospel should really bring a great joy with it. And so that should remove our fear. And it's a question for us. Is the gospel calming our fears as Christian people, as the people of God? Is the gospel calming our fears, or are we still holding on to our fears? And because as we reflect this Christmas season, we should be looking at the Word and saying, you know, we should be looking, the gospel should bring that balm, if you will, of relieving our fears. And the angel is talking about the glad tidings, is saying here, the news, the good news is that the Son is to be born. And we're going to get into that. He is this good news. He is the glad tidings. And that's what we are to share. And he's building up a crescendo, and it's the work that he came to do, the cradle to the cross. And he says to all, like in verse 10, in our verse, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" To all people. He came to bring of all kinds of people, every tribe and nation. He came to bring, to share that message, and we are to share that message. But here, you know, it was to the Jewish people first of all that he came. He was outside of Bethlehem. It was in Bethlehem. And this is the Messiah coming into picture, to the Jewish people first of all. And this was only 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. You know, this is in Bethlehem. And later, if we look in Matthew, but we won't really turn there, but you can always look there later, but just want to talk about it. We see the wise men coming to Bethlehem, and they came to Jerusalem first, but all Jerusalem was troubled. They were astonished, and they didn't know what to do, and they did not receive him well, did they? They didn't really know what to do with that news. But then we see how we're going to see the shepherds' reactions. And even the religious world in Jerusalem, they were troubled and sought to kill him then. And that's in Matthew 2. But we know the end of that awful story, how many young children lost their lives at the hands of Herod. But the religious world did not want the gospel and sought to snuff out the great light. The Messiah had come. You know, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But you see, here he comes to shepherds first. He comes to the shepherds, even though they were poor and considered of low means in this world and social outcast. And you know, this is like, he really comes to pastors. Most pastors in history do not come with golden spoons in their mouths nor rich, but they come from all different classes. They come from different walks of life, you know, whether it's upper class, middle class, working class. But here are these shepherds that are in a lower class, if you will. And I believe the angel came to them as an example of those keeping watch by night. We are, you know, we're all shepherds, so to speak, but, you know, there's those in the church that are under shepherds, and they need to keep watch. They need to watch out for danger, as these shepherds were for the flock. And just in Christ's kingdom, and we should be watching over the flock of God with a heart after God. In Jeremiah 3, verse 15, if you'd like to turn to there quickly, Jeremiah 3, verse 15, and it says there, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." That's beautiful that, you know, God, you know, he came to shepherds first. And so not that they're any more important, but we should be, you know, we should be studying the Word of God and having the Word of God first so that we can give it out to others. And, you know, you have to have a heart. You have to have a heart so that you after God. You know, sometimes it may be that you don't even know what you're going to say, but you have a heart. You have a heart as a shepherd. So we see, yes, he came to the Jewish nation, and the news is to all people, Jew and Gentile alike. But he came to the shepherds first here and to bring the news and to let them know about it and watch the fulfillment. You know, he did come to all people, both Jew and Gentile. The news is to all people. You know, God so loved the world, it says in John 3, look into me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel brought this message, and we are as well. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. I love this for these verses. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. And we should never be ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel, we come to believe the gospel, and it's to Jew and Gentile alike. It's to all people. And so it's really beautiful that the angel brought the gospel at the first, and so are we. And moving on to verse 11, Jesus is born to be the Savior, Messiah, and Lord. You know, of course, we just realize he came to the Jewish nation. He came to Bethlehem, but the shepherds, but to all. But born to you this day, it says in verse 11. Let's read verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is one of the most famous Christmas verses, but for there is born to you. Are you personalizing that tonight? Are you personalizing that? Do you realize that it is for you that he was born? Have you come to understand that in your heart? For to you, the Savior has come. So there had to be a day, a time when our Lord would come. And when Jesus came, he had to come at some point. But to you, he has come. And he finally did come. And for there is born to you this day. So today is the day. What does one of my favorite Christmas songs say? Hark the herald angels sing. This is not in all the hymnals. It's in ours, this stanza. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Final Adam from above. Reinstate us in thy love. So he had to come to be that second Adam. There was a time he had to come to do this, to perform this, to do his work. Galatians 4, verse 4 talks about that time. Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 talks about that. Please turn with me there. And there was a definite time that was ordained in eternity past by the predetermined will of the triune God for Jesus to come to be the second Adam, to fulfill all things for us. It's in the fullness of time. It's in God's time, in his timing. Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The fullness of time had come, and this was the day that the angel just declared. He says, for to you this day, this was this being fulfilled. The fullness of time had come, that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, and born under the law. And so he could keep the law perfectly as the second Adam, as we just read from that hymn. He's the second Adam from above. He's the final Adam. So he could keep that law for us. He was born under the law so he could keep the law so that we didn't have to. And that's part of the good news and the glad tidings. And this was the fulfillment for our salvation. And also, and you know, the Lord says, what about the timing for you? Today, if you hear my voice. Today, just like Jesus had to come and be born today. Today is a day. There is a day when this same Jesus who came into the world comes into our hearts. You know, here's a good Christmas question for you. Has he come into your heart? Has he come into your heart? My heart. Are you personally born again? It's a good question to ask anytime, but today is the day of salvation. And that's part of the gospel. Today is the day. Now is the time. Tomorrow's faith is today's unbelief. Think of it. And what does 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 say? For he says, he is in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation, young people. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Today is the day. Is it Christmas for you? There's a Christmas day where we see Jesus for the first time and we become born again. It's as if Christ was born all over again to start the process over again in our hearts. That's beautiful. Can we say with another hymn writer says, you know, the hymn, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou comest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Is there room there, or are you crowding it out with everything else? God does the work of salvation, but are you crowding out everything else? Are you, whatever it may be, are you crowding out the Lord Jesus Christ? And we might be already saved. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. We might be already saved. But are we operating and crowding out God's word in our lives? We need to be looking, or we need to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the power to do that as believers. We have the power and strength to do that. We can make room because he has given us the power to do so. The power we just read back in Romans, with the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel. So just another question. Question, are you making room for him? If you're an unbeliever, today is a day of salvation. If you're a believer, you know, are you removing the extra baggage in your life? You know, an airplane can't really take off if it's loaded with tons of baggage. You know, it can't get off the ground if it has too much baggage in it. But we need to get it off so we can lift off and fly in his kingdom as we ought to, and make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, our verse talks about the city of David in Bethlehem, and it means the house of bread. It means the house of bread. Our Lord Jesus came down from heaven at this time. He came down from glory to be a little baby and vulnerable in a cradle. And he came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. If you turn with me to John 6, verses 35 through 38. John 6, verses 35 through 38. And it was fitting that he came down from heaven to Bethlehem because, you know, the very meaning means the house of bread. The house of bread, or house of food, if you will. Well, he's the food from heaven. John 6, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, he says. I have come down from heaven. And here he is as the baby. He came down from heaven. He came down not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Just imagine, he's so subject to everything, being as a baby. And he came, that was not to do his own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And he says, if you come to me, you know, so back in 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. The Father has a plan, you know, and he gives to Jesus, his people. But he says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you come to Jesus Christ? If not, come to Jesus Christ. Come to him. Come to him. He is the only bread from heaven. He's the only one that who can give you life. You will never hunger. You will never hunger. And he is the bread of life. Let us all meet him at the house of bread this Christmas season. Let's all look at the Christmas story, if you will. Thank you. Thank you. Woo. Okay. Thanks. So come to him. You know, come to Jesus Christ. Let's meet him in the house of bread, so to speak, when we reflect on Bethlehem, when we look at Bethlehem. And even after we're saved, we have to be fed anew with his word constantly. So the angel is declaring Jesus as a savior. He's declaring him Jesus as a savior in this verse. He says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, a savior, not, you know, a savior. So his very name means savior, Jesus. If you look at Matthew 1, verse 21, he was born to be our savior. He's the only savior. I know Isaiah says, look unto me, God, the Lord says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for there's none beside me, he says. He's the only savior. He is the savior. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. For what? For he will save his people from their sins. He saves them from their sins. He doesn't keep us in our sins. He saves us from them, away from them. He's a savior, a beautiful savior. He doesn't keep us where he finds us. So the angel's declaring this. The angel, the gospel preacher, he is saying, this day a savior. Who is Christ? You know, we already kind of talked to him about the Messiah, but Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, Christos. He's Emmanuel. He's the Messiah who is God with us. He came but he's our Messiah, even as Gentiles. He's our God too. He came to the Jewish people, and at first, yes, they did not receive him, but now he's to all people. And Emmanuel, God with us. And the angel here is giving us his credentials. Savior, Jesus. Messiah, Christ. And Lord, which is Kurios. You know, the Romans would have understood that, to understand mastership and lordship and God, of Lord and supreme and authority. He came to Gentiles alike. He came to be everyone's Savior. He came to be the Messiah and also the Lord, so that all could relate and understand who he is. And if you look at Acts 2:36, it really sums this up. But at his birth, the angel declares then the fulfillment of Jesus' ministry and what he came to do for us. This is how it's fulfilled in Acts 2, verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. It says there, and Peter's wonderful message, his awesome sermon, one of the best sermons preached. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, Savior, whom you crucified, both Lord, Kurios, Lord, to the Gentiles, and Christ. He's the Messiah, he's the anointed one. So he was crucified, and the gospel itself was fulfilled at that. The angel declared the gospel, the glad tidings, and look here, this is after he went back to heaven, and it was fulfilled. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all. And it sums it up. Just think of it. Think of that. Praise God for his plan of redemption. But lastly, just moving to the sign of Jesus' birth to the shepherds, verse 12, the sign of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Again, the sign was first coming to the lowly shepherds, And again, they were regarded as social outcasts. They weren't anybody special. And often they were unreliable and rough around the edges. And how many of us can be like that? Even our calling before the Lord. What does 1 Corinthians 1:26 say? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. You know, being called, even when we're being called to salvation. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And so yet God is bringing his sign to these shepherds. And yet they're not anybody noble. They're not anybody according to the flesh. You know, they're not mighty. They're not wise according to the flesh. But our Lord, isn't it beautiful? He doesn't disenfranchise anyone. Our Lord comes to all people, as the angel declared. He came to these shepherds first as a sign. And the glorious gospel of grace to all people. But the sign is given, and it's backed up by prophecy and prophetic scripture. Think of it, the world's salvation comes through a cradled son, and prophecy declares it so. And if you look in Isaiah 7, verse 14, you know, it's our greater witness, if you will, as we look at the first Christmas scene. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So the angel's saying, here's the sign, and it's already been a sign that has already been, it's already been backed up by prophetic scripture, that Emmanuel has come. The son will be there. You will see him born. So, and the immediate fulfillment, what the angel told the shepherds immediately came to pass. In verse 7 in our text, going before our text, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And that's a beautiful message right there about them being no room for, he was outside, our Lord Jesus was outside of the main fray. But that's a whole nother message. But the immediate fulfillment of the sign, that the angels told the shepherds, they will go and see Jesus there, as it says in verse 7. This was their sign. Normally the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord would not be lying in a trough, in a manger, for anyone's kind of thinking, in a feeding stall. They needed clarification, so the angel told them. They needed clarification. Shepherds were no doubt used to poverty, but the great shepherd of Israel born in a manger wouldn't have made sense to them. So they needed to be told. And the angel gave them the sign of the babe lying in a manger in swaddling cloths. So are we pointed today to our Lord? Are we pointed to Him? And are we looking to Him as our Savior, Messiah, and Lord? And praise the Lord that Jesus coming into the world was not merely for just this type of season we come to enjoy. It is good to have a quiet and less busy Christmas because we can reflect upon Him and why He came. But praise Him that reflecting on the Savior, we find in Him our all and every need as Savior, Messiah, and Lord. One of my favorite verses talking about Jesus coming into the world. And I love the Handel's Messiah too. It's so beautiful. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That same child that was born, that the angel proclaimed the gospel of glad tidings, unto us he was born. This child is born. Unto us this son is given. Amen. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank You for Your mercies to us. We rejoice in You. We glory in Your holy name. We thank You for Your great plan of salvation. We thank You that You first brought the angel to preach the gospel, to share the gospel with the shepherds. We pray that we may lay hold of Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, if there's anyone out there who does not know You, that they may come to You this season. And even today, oh God, we thank You, Lord, for all that You are going to do. We rejoice in You with great joy. In Jesus' name, amen.